The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It's February 20th, 2023, to be rebroadcast on February 22nd, 2023, at our regular times on WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch. If you're watching on Facebook Live, please feel free to comment. We may be able to respond. Bicycle Talk is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, the upcoming news in cycling, bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show and are listening on Facebook Live, then you can leave the comments right down here below, right in the little box, and we'll try to respond back. We're recording our shows now on Mondays, and then we are having them play on WHUS on Wednesdays at our normal times. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org, iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast outlet. Ron's rant of the week. Got the COVID, did the COVID, done with the COVID. Anyway.
You're not done with the COVID.
Done with the COVID.
No, you're not.
I am done with the COVID.
You're done with the COVID.
I am done with the COVID.
But the COVID isn't done with you.
The COVID is wherever it is, it's there. And so, but right now it is getting better. So that's a good thing. Riding my bicycle at the community center and, you know, teaching my classes and everything is good. And that's what it is. But pretty much done with the COVID. Just because I don't want to deal with it anymore.
Right.
So, anyway.
You have to.
Right. And there is life after COVID. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing. But that's part of my rant. But the other part of my rant is, I love this one. Dude, if you wanted a mountain bike, then you should have bought a mountain bike. This industry drives me nuts. You want to know why it drives me nuts? Because Hutchinson has just introduced gravel tires that go as wide as 50 millimeters. That's 2 inches, folks, if you're here on this side of the pond. And options across the range. That's a 2-inch tire. It's a 700C, quote-unquote, roadish bike. Really? Just buy a mountain bike. If that's what you wanted, just buy the mountain bike. What do you need that for? Anyway, that's one of my rants. I'm going to say it. New 50-millimeter 700C tires are designed for bike packers, gravel adventurers, and gravel electric bikes or e-bikes. God. Anyway, where does ridiculous start? Where does ridiculous end? I love the idea that gravel bikes are so popular. I love the idea that so many people have gotten into it and they're having a good time with it. That's all good. But, I ride my cyclocross bike. It has 32C tires on it. That works. But you know what? I'm that old guy purist and, you know, the whole disc brake thing and all that. I'm still not adjusted to that whole idea. So what can I say? I'm just a cranky old guy who likes to talk about bikes.
Boy, are you cranky.
I am cranky. And there's no need to be cranky, but sometimes you have to be cranky. And sometimes you just have to have cranks on your bike or else you can't go forward. So on a positive side, let's move forward here. I am hosting a Pedal to End Cancer this Saturday at the Mansfield Community Center. Where are you folks? Anybody local here want to come? We got a free seat sitting there waiting for you. Well, it's not really free. It's kind of a, you know, you make a donation to the Cancer Society and then you get to come to the community center for free, which is kind of cool. And you get to take one of my classes. So anyway, this is your chance to raise money for a good cause. And you can take anywhere from 1 hour on the bike to up to 3 hours that we will be doing this. So if you are in the area and you want to do this and you're looking for something to do because the weather is going to be just absolutely perfect for riding indoors on Saturday, from what my local forecaster over here says, Yeah. She tells me that the weather is not going to be so great this weekend coming up.
Right.
But it's perfect for coming inside and joining your good old pal, Peddlin' Ron, on a 3-hour marathon of indoor cycling. If you want to do it and you're looking for an online way of doing it, we have that option too. So please come join me. It'll be fun. It'll be fun. It's a good time. So what else do I have here? Let's see. Thread City Cyclers. If you are a member of our local Thread City Cycler group, yes, there's 142 of you on the meetup, and I've had all of 2 of you sign up. So anyway, that's just a little shame call.
I would sign up if I could.
But yeah, but you know, I'm not looking for you to. I'm looking for lots of people to sign up. I mean, it would be good if you could. I know you're not feeling well, so you're not going to.
No.
But there are many people out there that are feeling well, and they could probably do this. And it would be a good cause. It's a good thing. It's a good representation of the club. You know. Anyway, the weather is crazy here, by the way.
Yeah.
Speaking of weather, it's 50 degrees out again today. I think 54 degrees exactly at this time. And, you know, is there anyone out there riding your bike? I know Billy and Paul are. I just got a video call from them earlier today. They're down in Saybrook, and they're out riding their bikes today. So,
you know, yeah, Dave Walgerter really has already ridden.
Speak up towards the mic, please. Thanks.
No.
Thank you. People always tell me they can't hear Fran.
Dave Wahlberger has already ridden 1,156 miles this year.
Of course he has.
Yeah.
Dave is our friend who, he's a 10,000 miler. He's one of those guys that just packs on the miles all year long. And, you know, good for him. That's great. Hello, Chris. Hello, Robert. Hello, Rick. Thanks for joining us today. Nice to see you. So anyway, yeah, there's people out there riding already, like, you know, but our weather has been ridiculous. We've never seen a winter quite like this. So,
I'm so disappointed.
Morning, Kevin. Kevin was on his bike the other day.
I
saw a first road ride posting the other day from Kevin.
I know,
so that's
too.
Cool. That's very, very cool. Mechanical Minute and cycling tips. We're going to talk today about mistakes. Mistakes you can make as a cyclist. This is a shout out to the Global Cycling Network folks who are always amusing me with humorous videos that talk about different things that are going on. And they talked about mistakes, and I thought this is a nice one. Actually, it's pretty cool. So number one on the mistake list, bonking. Hey, Fran, have you ever bonked? You ever run out of glycogen when you're out riding your bike?
Glycogen.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Probably, but. I don't know. I'm pretty good about...
A good thing.
I'm pretty good about fueling and keeping an eye on that sort of thing. And
yeah.
Not over... Like, if I'm riding a 100-mile ride, I'm eating a lot and drinking a lot.
Right. But it does happen. People do bonk.
Absolutely.
And they just completely run out of gas. If you've ever done it, you know what I'm talking about. If you've never done it, congratulations. It's really nice to know that you were smart enough to eat a lot while you were out riding your bike and keep yourself, you know, fueled well and all that. But it can be a big problem, and it'll stop you in your tracks. You cannot put any pressure down on the pedals. Your legs say, your body says, no way. And you're walking your bike up the hill is even difficult. So it's something that you don't want to make. That's a mistake that you don't want to make. You want to make sure that you keep at least, you know, some gels in your back pocket or a snack or an apple or a banana. You know, something that you can refuel yourself with while you're out on your ride. As long as you do that, then you probably won't run into the problem of bonking. But you can bonk and it is no fun. So there's one mistake on the list. Here's a big mistake on the list. And this one I have seen before so many times, and it happens, but no spare. No spare tire, no spare tube, no pump, no way of fixing a flat tire when you're out because you're optimistically in the world of, I never get flat tires. That's, you know what? Never say never. Never say never, because it can happen. No spare, not a good thing at all. So you definitely don't want to make that mistake as a cyclist, for sure. Overdressing or underdressing for your ride. Yeah, so overdressing. How could you possibly overdress for a ride? You put too many layers on. So what you do is you start out on your ride and, you know, you went outside, you kind of felt the temperature, you looked at the thermometer, you thought, you know, I'm going to put these layers on, I'm going to be perfectly comfortable. And then you start out, you feel really great, you're nice and warm and all, and then you get about 20 minutes to a half an hour into the ride and you're like zipping stuff down and you're overheating and you're, you know, you're just, your heart rate starting to race because you're really too warm. That's what we would call overdressing. Personally, I'm an overdresser. I always have been an overdresser because I hate to freeze. I just do not like being cold.
And have no body fat.
And I am limited in the body fat department. Yes, I am one of those skinny people that is like a radiator out there. I get chilly very, very quickly. So I also have the ability to, take a jacket off while I'm riding my bike down the road. I just slip off the back of the group if I'm on a group ride, and I slide out of my jacket and I stick it in one of my pockets in the back and I keep riding. So I have the skill and ability to do that while riding, so it's not really a concern if I should have to shed, and I don't mind shedding. I also believe in articles of clothing that you can use, like arm warmers, which are really easy to peel off if you need to peel those off, and you can regulate your temperature that way. I am also knee warmers or leg warmers, which can be taken off while you're riding if you have the skill to do it. Once again, some people do, some people don't. Sometimes I just pull the knee warmer down and slide it over the top of my shoe and then just leave it there and just keep riding. And that's not really a problem at all because it's not really in your way or anything. And it's off of your knees if it gets really, really warm out. But so there are ways of doing that. So, but overdressing or underdressing are a problem. Underdressing, I don't like that at all. I am, I get chilly really, really easily on my bike. And so therefore, I tend to be an overdresser in general, but I also have a way of regulating that if I need to. So I'm much more of a tendency to overdress than I do to underdress. But anyway, it is a mistake that you can make if you don't get it right. How do you get it right? Trial and error. That's how you learn. That's how you learn. So many people I've taken out for rides, and I look at them and I go, God, they're wearing shorts today. Whew, do they have any idea how cold it really is when you're going down a hill? They don't. And then, halfway through the ride, they're freezing to death and they're shaking when we come to a stop. And, they should have dressed more. Anyway, it's something you have to do. You have to figure out personally. You have to figure it out on your own and figure out what works best for you.
Again, so that's good. I think one of the things you're not realizing is you are not average when it comes to body fat and cold intolerance.
All true.
Most people are, you're not average. You're slender, and it is unusual to be slender in the United States. And even a person who's average is going to have more heat intolerance than you. So you're going to be dressing warmer than most people.
Yeah.
So most people, like I can wear less clothes. On a day that you need to be wearing tights, a lot of people could wear shorts and they're fine.
Right.
You have to realize that not only is not everybody like you, most people aren't like you.
But I have also been out on a number of rides where it's 50 degrees out and no one has cover on their legs. And it's like,
and some people can handle that.
And they're cold and they complain about their knees hurting. So, you know, enough said. Anyway, we'll move on this because this is obviously a big debate. And everybody has their thing. And that's what you have to do. You have to figure it out. So what else is here on my list of mistakes that are made? Oh. The squeaky chain. Yeah, the squeaky chain. Everybody knows the squeaky chain, right? You're riding along and you're out there riding with three or four different people. Maybe you're there with a half a dozen or a dozen people. You're riding along and you hear that squeak, 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 squeak. And you hear the person that didn't oil their chain. And it's like, it's maddening. It's absolutely maddening. It is to me anyway, because, you know, I'm a mechanic at heart. That's my thing. I work on bicycles. I've worked on bicycles my whole life. I grew up in an automobile garage. So therefore, you know, mechanical things are kind of like made to be lubricated because that's how they work best. And when I hear a squeaky chain, it just drives me nuts. If it's mine, shame on me. That's a mistake. Okay. What can you do about that squeaky chain while you're out riding? Well, there's a couple things you could do. And I'm not highly recommending this, but if the squeak drives you absolutely nuts and your bike is just crying, you know what the squeak chain is? It's your bicycle crying at you. It's crying at you. It's screaming for help. And, you know, it's just not good for the bike. So there are a couple things you could do. You have any olive oil on you? You know, maybe you carry a little tiny, you know, bottle of Cola Vita olive oil with you just in case, you know, you're stopping at a cafe and you need some olive oil. I don't know. Why would you have olive oil with you? Who knows? But they did in the GCN video, and I thought that was really funny. But you can put a little olive oil on there. It's not great. It's vegetable oil. It's not going to last very long, and you're going to have to get home and clean your chain off real well and do it right when you get home, but it will take the squeak away. Another thing that will do that, and again, not highly recommended, especially if you had packed it for LeBanc, which we talked about earlier, but an energy gel will solve the problem temporarily. It's just going to make a horrible mess, but it will solve the problem temporarily. Best yet, when you get done with your bike ride, you get home, you wipe your chain down, maybe put a little bit more lube on it, and off you go for the next time because you're ready to go. The other thing is, if you use the proper lube, the lube that works best for you, once again, everyone has an opinion on this, and you lube your bike properly with a good lube, you can get a few weeks out of it before you have to re-lube it again. If you're using a lube which does not make your chain get very dirty while you're riding along, and I'm going to go back to those old paraffin lubes. You know, I mean, they're wonderful about keeping your chain clean, but they're not so good about lubricating your chain over a long period of time. So they require constant lubrication with those. Great for the people who make the lubricant because you have to buy a lot of it, but not so great for your bike because your bike is like always saying, a little more, please, a little more. Anyway, I'm a big fan of the BoShield lubes. That they just, you know, Boeing Aircraft made them years ago. They work really great. They're not the cleanest lubes out there, but boy, do they work good. And so I'm a big T9 fan here. And Finish Line makes some really good wet lubes too, which I really like, which will last a fairly long period of time. So, you know, there's other brands out there too, I'm sure, but those are ones that I actually enjoy and work with all the time. Okay, what else is on my mistake list? Ah, speaking of lubes and too much lube on your chain, the infamous chain ring tattoo. Yes, siree, there it is. There's a mistake you can make. What is a chain ring tattoo? Well, that's when your chain ring is so incredibly gunked up with all sorts of lubrication and grease and oil and such. And when you come to a stop, you take your right foot out, and you put your right foot down, and then you lean your bike into your right leg.
And you put your right foot in, and you shake it all about.
You shake it all about, and you do the hokey pokey, and the next thing you know, you have a, and that's what the tattoo is all about. So anyway, the chain ring tattoo. Is it a big deal? No, it's not a big deal. Is it, it's more, I don't know, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. We referred to them many years ago as the Cat 4 tattoo, but now we have Cat 5, so therefore now it's the Cat 5 tattoo. But, you know, it's the definite pointing a finger in the direction of the amateur cyclist that has not paid attention to how they hold their bike up when they come to a stop.
Better to have a Cat 5 tattoo than to never be near a bike chain.
That's a good point. Okay, we'll take that one. That's a good one. Okay, here's a big one. This is a real big one. So here you go. You're going to go to your local ride. You decide that you're going to drive there because it's a little too far away for you to ride your bike to. And you pack your bike in the car and you got all your gear and you're all set to go. And you get to the ride and you pull your bike out and you pull your helmet out and you have no shoes.
Right.
Oh boy!
So
yeah.
you have to do the litany before you leave the house. You have to do, and I always do that.
And
helmet, goggles, gloves, shoes, right. Mask, hand sanitizer, water bottle,
right.
And if you're going to stop somewhere, money.
And something that I saw was that this one person put a suggestion out there, and it was a list.
Right. And take it to your window.
And the list is in the inside of your car, right? Where
right.
you're packing your bike in, or it's near your bike rack, or it's on your back window so
right.
you can see it
right.
when you're putting it on the bike rack. Mm-hmm. But it has the list, and you look down the list and go bump, 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 and there you have it. You don't forget your helmet.
I do it
you don't
in
forget
head.
Your shoes. You don't forget your glasses if you use special glasses. You don't forget... you know, your gloves and all those things. So it's
and
kind
I've
of a
been
kind
known
of a cool
to,
thing.
If I haven't done the litany at the house, I've been known to pull over to make sure and get out of the car and make sure I have everything.
Yeah. Yep. And I have gotten out of the car and looked because
yep.
I've thought maybe I didn't put my shoes in.
Or my whatever.
I usually do. And what's the worst case scenario? You ride without your shoes.
Ugh.
You know, you can do it. It's been done.
No,
I've
can't.
Done it. It's not that hard. It's irritating because, you know, you've got no way of, you know, pushing and pulling yourself through your pedal stroke. But you know what? You're riding your bike. Just go for a ride. Deal with it. All right. Forgetting your shoes. Oh, here we are. And, of course, mistakes that you can make. Group ride etiquette. Yeah, group ride etiquette. So what does this involve? It involves a number of things. If you're a group rider and you've been out riding in small or large groups for an extended period of time, you know certain things that you do and don't do. And one of them is, as you're riding down the road and you see a pothole on the side of the road, you forget to point it out to the person behind you. And then you hear slam, slam, and then you hear them say, mm-mm. You know, they say something not so good. I beep myself out. How about that? You know, it's not about you. It's about everyone when you're on a group ride. It's about everyone besides you on a group ride. So none of that. No snot rockets. And communication is key. Don't forget to talk. Talk to the people you're riding with. Get to know them. Get to understand them, understand their riding habits, see what they're comfortable with and what they're not comfortable with. It's all about communication. So those are the mistakes you can make as a cyclist. There are many more, I'm sure. And if you want to list them here on this video, I would be very, very happy to address them in the future because we've all made mistakes when we go out and ride our bikes. But anyway. That's what it is. Oh, I forgot one other mistake that I want to add to this too. And this one is kind of personal, but I'm going to put it out there anyway. The mistake of using a finger when a finger is not to be used.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that.
Really shouldn't do that. It's I call it the IQ salute. It definitely shows what your IQ is in numbers. And that's not good. That's really not good. So don't do the IQ salute. Not a good idea. Very, very bad idea. Okay, moving forward, what do we have here today? Hey, did you know, let's see here now, where is this page? Did you know, Fran probably knows this, but did you know that February is American Heart Month?
Of course.
How about that? What do you think about that? So February is American Heart Month, and this one is near and dear to me.
Mm.
Kevin says, how about the person who takes a selfie at the front of the pace line? Yeah, there you go. That's a beauty. Yeah, that's right in there with the same person who shows up, or not the same person, but the person who shows up with an aero bar tri bike on a group ride. Ugh. Right in there. Yeah. 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 That's a good one. You know, if you've got great skills and everybody knows you have great skills and you can pull certain things off, that's great. But I never want to see a set of tri bars on a group ride ever, ever in my life. I just don't want to know about them. But anyway, and then the selfie thing. Yeah. You know, gee, do that when you stop, you know,
in front of the pace line.
Do it when you stop. Yeah. Do it when you stop. You don't need to do that. Or go to the back of the line and take a picture from the back if you want to. But make sure there's no one sitting on your wheel. Silly. Silly, silly, silly. So we're going to move on. Hey, Kevin, it's it's American Heart Month. Hey, you know this one. Kevin was one of the first people that reached out to me when I had my big heart awareness situation.
The bump in the road,
as the podcast was termed, 2 weeks after I got out of the hospital. Yeah. So anyway, why do we observe American Heart Month every February? Well, every year, more than 600,000 Americans die from heart disease. The number one cause of deaths for most groups, heart disease affects all ages, genders, and ethnicities. Risk factors include high cholesterol, high blood pressure, smoking, diabetes, and excessive alcohol use. So it is that month, and it is definitely a big piece of awareness. I am far more aware of what's going on with my heart now that I've had it taken out and put back in again. So I definitely am more sensitive to this than others can be. The key is, you know, I know you ride your bike a lot. If you're listening to this podcast or watching this this podcast, you'll find that you're probably pretty interested in cycling in general, I would say. And you probably ride your bike on a fairly regular basis. Or maybe you're thinking about riding your bike on a fairly regular basis. But the key is, no matter how fit you are, you got to get checked out every once in a while. I never knew this. I mean, I did and I didn't. I have heart disease in my family. So I am at a higher risk because of that. But because I spent so much time in my life riding my bicycle, I just never really thought about it. You know, I was riding my bike a lot. I cross-country skied in the wintertime, snowshoed. I ran for a long time. I do that. And, you know, I do a lot of different things that are very cardio-centric. So, it's, you know, I have a lot of healthy habits. I eat well. Everything is, you know, pretty much focused on, it's all focused on when people heard that I had this issue and I ended up with a quadruple bypass. They were like, you? How could that be you? How could that possibly be?
Because
it can be anybody. So that's why I am shouting out to the American Heart Association and anybody who's out there who has any sign whatsoever of history in your family, even if you don't, talk to your doctor about it, please, please, please. Because we don't want to lose cyclists this way. We don't want to lose friends this way. We don't want to lose family members this way. It's really devastating. And, you know, it's funny. I went down to our local watering hole on Friday evening, meeting some friends down there. And while I was there, I had a guy come up to me and go, "Hey, Ron, I haven't seen you in 20 years, you know, which is, you know, what you do when you go to your local pub, you know, sometimes you see people you haven't seen in a long time. And so we chatted back and forth and, you know, we're kind of laughing and all. And we started trading stories because that's what you do when you're, you know, more mature. It that way. And you start trading stories. And I asked him how his brother was doing because his brother had had this horrible stroke. And he was out for a run and he collapsed on the side of the road. Unfortunately, no one got to him right away. And so he ended up somewhat disabled from it because they did not get to him in time. And so he goes on to tell me how he had a stroke. And I went, really? And I said, any issues or problems? He goes, no. He said, my wife just looked at me and she said, something's not right. And he goes, yeah, I don't feel quite right. And she said, smile for me. And he tried to smile, and guess what happened?
Couldn't smile.
Nothing. Nothing. He could not get his face to smile. And she said, in the car, let's go. Drove him directly to the ER, and they got on it right away, and they said, you're having a stroke. And they were able to medicate him and get him relaxed and stable, and he's fine. No major side effects whatsoever. He had to do some blood thinners for a while, and, you know, I'm sure he's medicated now, but he's fine. He's fine. So you can avoid it. You just got to, you know, you've got to pay attention. You just totally, totally have to pay attention, because you just never know. It can happen to anyone. And, you know, my friend Charlie is, you know, he's a fairly active guy. He was self-employed his whole life and, you know, worked hard. And you know, you don't always expect it, but it can happen. So it's, you know, it's something we want to make sure that we pay attention to. Even if we are, you know, the super cyclist guy, or the, you know, the always active going for walks every day person or whatever, you know, it's your heart's a very, very, very important part of your body, and you need to pay attention to it. And you want to make sure that your arteries don't become clogged, and you want to make sure that your heart is healthy in many other ways. If you're physically fit, you're probably using that muscle, because it is a muscle. You're probably using that muscle at a level where it is going to be strong and be able to sustain things that may happen to it. But then again, I know people who are very, very active, and or knew people who were very, very active, and then they had a heart incident or a heart attack, and they were never the same afterwards. But you gotta just pay attention. If I were king, and this is for anyone who's out there in the insurance industry listening in, I would require a full workup of you know, your whole like a treadmill test, you know, more than just an EKG. At a yearly physical, you need a stress EKG, exactly, to see what's really going on there. Well, and I don't understand why that's not standard practice.
Well, I think a stress EKG, probably after a certain age, or if you have, like a colonoscopy, if you have a family history, then you ought to get a stress EKG at a certain age, probably. The age would depend upon your family history, and if you don't have a family history, make it 45 or 50, like you do the colonoscopy. Colonoscopy is now down to 45.
And women have their tests every year too, and we just don't do the heart.
So I don't know if
why
you
don't
have
we do
to
the
do
heart?
That is I'm not sure why, and I don't know if it's because
cost.
It might be a cost issue, and cost and a time issue. But I mean, that's why, I mean, colonoscopies are expensive too. And
they
require, you know, when you turn 45, you're expected to get a colonoscopy. Now, if you're at a lower risk, you can get a less invasive test, like you could do Cologuard or a FIT test.
Yep.
But it's true, the EKG, you only get sent to do an EKG if you have symptoms.
Right. You have to have a red flag come up in order to get
one. And by then
one.
It's too late. And by that, at that
exactly.
point, you probably have, if it comes up positive, then you probably have significant cardiovascular disease. It doesn't make sense to me why they don't have screening
EKGs. It makes
EKGs.
No sense whatsoever.
You don't necessarily have to do it every year, but do it the way they do colonoscopies. You get to be a certain age, you have to have one, or if you're at... If you have a strong family history, you do it younger.
Right. But the insurance industry is to blame here, because they won't pay for that sort of thing, which is really unfortunate.
Well, if it became standard practice, they would.
Exactly. And then the other one they don't do is they don't do the calcium test either.
Well,
and
calcium scoring test is controversial.
It is. But you know what? It's helped a lot of people.
It's
doesn't. It doesn't, because calcium, you can have a negative calcium score. You can have a calcium score of zero and still have a heart attack. And you can have a calcium score of 1,000 and have patent arteries. Right. Calcium scoring test is not as important as
an EKG.
As a stress EKG, or as an angiogram. Because the thing is, if you have a calcium scoring test measures calcification of the arteries. If the arteries are calcified inside the endothelium, not in the lumen, the tube part of your blood vessels. Mm-hmm. If the calcification is not blocking the arteries, you can have a calcium score of 1,000 and be fine. But you can have a calcium score of 150, and if there's plaque that's blocking the artery, you could be at risk of a heart attack. Right. So it's helpful, but it's not perfect. And I know cardiologists who don't trust the calcium scoring test as much as they trust stress EKGs and the echocardiogram. And of course, the angiogram, that's where you're putting the dye in and you're watching it physically go through the blood vessels. That's diagnostic, but they only do that if you fail your EKG.
Sure. So, the moral of the story is, if there is any history of family history of heart disease, press your doctor hard on this, because they can order the test on just that right there, on family history. And give them a push and say, hey, look, I got family history. I have friends that, have run into major problems, and I'm very, very concerned. And, give it a hard push, get it tested. Because it's the number one killer in the United States, men and women, by the way. Women more than men now. Also, the numbers have gone way up with
women.
And
by the way, COVID-19 increases your risk of cardiovascular disease. If you've had COVID-19, and it can, even if you've had a mild case of COVID-19, you can have cardiovascular problems in the weeks and months following COVID-19.
As we have seen with lots of people we know. Yep. So, yeah, the COVID-19 thing is yet another part of it. Kevin says there was not a single symptom in his case, just a lucky catch from his GP. How about that?
Yeah.
Sometimes you find a good doctor. And that's really, really good. Who would have guessed, and yet, serious business. It was the big deal. I was at first diagnosed with an exercised
induced
asthma because I complained about breathing. Come to find out, what my complaint about breathing really was that I was operating on a 30% capacity of my heart. It wasn't working. I wasn't getting oxygen. And that's a big, big deal. I was very fortunate because I had built so many little tiny arteries all around my heart. They told me that my heart was like wrapped up in a giant safety net of these arterial
corollary circulation.
Right. So my surgeon told me that I saved my own life by doing that. So exercise, ride your bike. It could really save your life. Like I say at the end of the show every week, it's a pretty important thing. So yeah, this is it. It's American Heart Month. So I thought I would bring this up because it's very, very, very near and dear to me. So did you know that the first bypass surgery was performed by an Argentinian surgeon, Rene Favolaro, from the Cleveland Clinic. And he did the very first bypass surgery, changing heart treatment forever. Today, coronary artery bypasses grafting is the most common cardiac surgery in the world. How about that? That was May of 1967.
Wow.
In the 1950s, diet became important. Doctors began to understand cholesterol and the role of low-fat diets in cardiovascular health. In 1924, the American Heart Association formed. Several heart disease research groups coalesced to form the AHA, hoping to coordinate and promote efforts to understand and treat heart disease. And 12... 1200 plus BCE, ancient heart disease. Egyptian mummies, some more than 3,500 years old, show signs of cardiovascular disease, proving that heart disease isn't an entirely modern phenomenon. Researchers speculate that the high-fat diet and sedentary lifestyle of the upper-class Egyptians may have contributed to their poor health, but other pre-modern factors could also be at play. So, you know, that old thing, you are what you eat, pretty true, pretty true. You got to be careful there. Got to watch it out, watch out. And everybody handles food in a different way, so I can't say it's specifically for anyone and everyone, but yeah, you know, just let's pay attention, folks. I'd like you to be around. I'd like you to be around, you know, listening to Bicycle Talk or complaining about Bicycle Talk or whatever you want.
Nobody listened to Bicycle Talk if you weren't around.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, I look at it as, you know, a near miss for me, and I like to promote it. And it is American Heart Month, and it is in February. And so I wanted to just push this upon everyone and let them know that my bicycle saved my life. And that's why I am. That's one of the many reasons why I am so enthusiastic about cycling and my bicycle, and why we are hosting Bicycle Talk, which is a good thing. So another cool thing which is going on, we'll move on from that one, is, let's see if we can get this guy to pop up. No. Where is it? I wanted to bring up the... and it's not coming up at all. The Great American Bike Trail. So the Great American Bike Trail is a, and I posted a video on the Bicycle Talk page on this. So if you have a few minutes to watch it, it's a YouTube video, and it's all about the vision of the Great American Bike Trail. I have talked about this in past episodes of Bicycle Talk, but at this time, just so you know, it is 54% complete at this time. So what does that mean? What it means is, for those of you who love to ride on the rail trails because they are protected from cars and trucks and it's a safer way for you to travel, there is going to be a trail which will cross the entire United States.
Yay.
And it's going to be 3,700 miles between Washington and Washington. So it's going to go from DC to state. And if you go on to, let's see, what is this site? This is a railstotrails.org site, and you search for Great American Rail Trail, you'll find it right there, and you'll see the progress of the Great American Rail Trail and what's going on with it. So it's kind of a cool thing. There are different videos that are there for you to watch and check out, which is kind of cool. And it shows you the routes and what's being done. There's a map you can download, and you can check out the map and see where it goes and how close it may be to you in your state. But what a cool idea if this whole thing goes through. I also think it would be a really cool idea if they finish the East Coast Greenway Project. We are over 60% done here in Connecticut on the East Coast Greenway Project. So we're getting closer, and we're getting closer rapidly. It's really coming together very, very quickly. And I'm real excited by that, because someday Fran and I will hop on our bikes and we'll ride down to see your mom in Florida.
Woohoo!
Wouldn't that be cool?
That'd be very cool.
Wouldn't that be cool to be able to just, you know, take a month or maybe less, probably less. It's 1,500 miles. It's not that much. No. And ride our bikes down to your mom's. That would be so cool. That would just be such a cool thing to do. You know, it's out there. It's possible. You know, support in any way you can, if you can, the Rails to Trails effort, because it's really a wonderful effort. And if you can't support it financially, you can always support it by just being active and outspoken in your community as these projects start coming in your direction. Get out there and push it, because it's a cool thing. It's a totally cool thing. And for those of you who don't care as much because you'd rather just drive your car, Well, look at this. If we get these trail networks together, you won't have to worry about us out on the roads anymore. That's not entirely true because that's changing too, but I won't go down that rabbit hole right now because that's yet another story. So, you know, check it out. It's a really cool thing. You get to see so much about what's going on here. There's all sorts of great places you can visit along the Great American Rail Trail. It's fascinating. It really is. So check it all out and see what you think. And again, you can find out more information about that on railstotrails.org, Great American Trail. That's it, Rail Trail. So check it out. It's a totally cool thing, and I think it's worth talking about because it's a really positive thing for cycling. So I've got some other things on the list here. We still have some time to get there. I want to talk a little bit about the Connecticut Cycling Advancement Program today and give them a quickie shout out because they deserve all of it. It's a really cool thing. And let's see, that's away. And here we are. So it is the beginning of the 2023 spring mountain bike season. If you go to ctcyclingadvancement.org, you can see you see this great picture, and it's all these kids, and they're all on mountain bicycles because they're pumping up for the 2023 spring mountain bike season, which is coming very, very soon. So the regional mountain bike teams begin riding at the end of March and the beginning of April. Teams are open to girls and boys between the ages of 9 and 18. Teams ride together in a supportive, positive environment led by USA Cycling certified coaches. Riders learn to improve their skills, take care of the trails, and if they're looking for an extra challenge, enter cross-country mountain bike races. Teams practice twice a week and attend races on select weekends. Racing is not required, okay? If you just want to go out and ride with friends that are like-minded, that like to ride mountain bicycles, and you want to make some new friends that are all, you know, into the same thing you're in, you don't have to race. But it is super fun. And those of us who are involved with CCAP, which I am about to become more involved with them, are able to help you with that and teach you what you need to know to become a bicycle racer if that's something you want to do. You know, my friend Tyler Wren from Renegade Sports, he started out as that kid that didn't want to play sports in high school. And his father said, no, you're going to play a sport. And he said, I don't like the sports. I don't want to play a ball sport. And also his father asked him what he wanted to do. And he said, I want to ride a mountain bike. So he bought him a mountain bike. And the rest became a professional career in cycling. So it can go anywhere. It really can. But more so than anything else, it's an interest in something that you really love to do. Hey, Fran, what's the best exercise to do?
For anyone?
For anyone, yeah.
The one you'll do.
Right, right. And the one that when you get done doing it, you've got a big smile on your face, right? To me, I know very few people who don't go out and ride their bike and have a big smile on their face when they're done. But then again, you know, I'm very opinionated about this. So anyway, I have always been that way. When I was growing up, I'd get out and ride my bike and I would just be really, really happy. And then my bicycle was a useful piece of transportation because I grew up on a farm. And when I would get home from school, it was my job to go down to my grandparents' house. And it was probably a half a mile driveway to ride down. And I would, you know, bring wood in for them and fill the wood box and get the stove, you know, fill the stove and do things like that. And also help my uncle on the farm or whatever. But, you know, I just rode my bike everywhere to do that. And then if I wanted to see friends after school, I'd just ride my bike there. This is a cool thing. I'm going to segue on this just a little bit. There, Fran and I started watching, was it Stranger Things? Mm-hmm. And it's based out of probably the 60s and 70s, I would guess, somewhere around 80s. There. Is it the 80s? Mm-hmm. Is that what it is? Yeah. All the kids ride bikes.
Yes.
They all ride bikes everywhere. They're in this small town and they ride around, and it's just such a cool thing because it just brings me back to that smile on my face thing I did when I was a kid. That's how we got around. That's how we communicated with one another. We would go and ride our bikes, which is really cool.
And they use them in a utilitarian way.
They do.
They ride the bikes to get from here to there.
And we can still do that. We really can. We have to be a lot more careful because, you know, the traffic situation is much different than it was back then, but still we can do it. And hello, Michelle, who's now watching. Thank you for joining us today. So anyway, this mountain bike thing with CCAP is a big deal, and it is happening. And you can check out a video from racing at Winding Trails in Farmington, Connecticut, which is kind of cool. And they, just so you know, the spring series has just been announced, and race one is on Sunday on the 16th of April at Hopbrook Mountain Bike in Middlebury, Connecticut. Race two is the 23rd of April at the Winding Trails in Farmington, Connecticut. Number three is on Saturday, May 6th, and it is Belltown Throwdown at the YMCA camp in East Hampton, Connecticut. Shout out to our friends at Airline Cycles. And race four is 5/21, so May 21st, Team Red Dragon at the Hatchery Brook in Berlin, Connecticut. So these are races that are coming up. So if you have a child who's interested in cycling, this is a great way to get started. It's on a mountain bike. It's off-road, so we're not dealing with cars and trucks or anything like that. And it's very, very safe as far as that goes. And they get to meet other kids that also like to do things like that. So there are protocols with CCAP, but you can check it all out. I would go to their website and take a look. That's ctcyclingadvancement.org. And you can find out a little bit more about what happens with the CCAP group here in Connecticut. It's a very rapid growing youth cycling program here in Connecticut. We love it. They are based out of Middletown, Connecticut, and they are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, just so you know. So anyway, I just love seeing kids on bikes. It's just a great thing. It's wonderful. And that part is what's really near and dear to my heart. So cool stuff. Anyway, check it out and see what you think. Yeah, okay. So the UAE tour has started also. So bike racing fans, guess what? There's bike racing. There's all sorts of bike racing going on. And on the world level, there's a 7-day race, which is over in, where are we?
United Arab Emirates.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, it's a 7-day, and right now it is Tim Merlier in first place. Yesterday was the first day. Caleb Ewan is second, and Mark Cavendish is third right now.
Oh, so, Cav is still racing.
Cav is still racing, yeah.
No, retiring.
Who is retiring, Fran?
Sagan.
Peter Sagan, yeah, I know. Peter Sagan, he was... He always brought a smile to my face. He was a very interesting character in the bicycle racing circuit in so many ways, from the day that he got in trouble, from reaching around and grabbing one of the podium girls to where he is today, doing wheelies coming across finish lines. Good
so
old
he
Peter
actually,
Sagan.
He's retiring from road cycling.
Yeah.
And he's going to still
gonna
be
do
mountain,
gravel, right?
Mountain biking. Yeah. He's thinking about mountain biking in the 2024 Olympics.
That's cool. Yeah. Well, he certainly has a talent for riding a bike. There's no question about that. So that's kind of cool. So anyway, there are in all of these big races, there's a red jersey, which is the general classification jersey, a green jersey for points, a white jersey for young rider, and a black jersey for intermediate sprint classification. So anyway, that's what's going on right now. It's a 7-day race. We'll know more about it in 7 days, because that's what's going to happen. It's a, it's kind of a, you know, it's a, it's really warm there because you're in the desert. And so it's a great place as far as that goes. There was also the tour down under just before this, also very warm because it's Australia and it's summer there. And not here and not in Europe either. So it's a way to kind of get some spring training legs on and get the riders out and competing again. So fun stuff. But what really is fun, is the classics are coming. Oh boy, the classics are coming, which includes the good old Paris-Roubaix and others. So the Cobblestone Classics are right around the corner. And if I go to my notes here, I can tell you right now that We've got some stuff coming up there. It seems like the basic Cobble Classic season kicks off the weekend of February 25th and 26th in Belgium. That will be this weekend coming up, with the Umloop Hef Nieuwsblad on the Saturday and the Kume Brussels Kume on Sunday. So here we go. It's time. It's time, race fans. If you like to watch bike racing like I do, it's that time of year. So things are starting to happen. We are running out of time, so I cannot go any further on this. I have some things we will bring up in following weeks, including March 25th through the 22nd through the 25th is the beginning of the Taipei Cycle Show. Taipei Cycle Show, if you're in the industry, you know what this is. This is the big powwow where everybody gets together and decides what bikes we're going to all be riding next year. Not this year, next year. But it's all part of the planning process, and it's where a lot of goods are displayed. There is an online system to this. I have applied for a press pass to it. I don't know if it'll happen or not, but it's worth a shot, right? And there's an everyday online thing which happens from the 22nd to April 7th. So I'm hoping to be able to get a press pass on it. If I do, then I'll be able to kind of check some stuff out and see some of the cool stuff coming down the pike, which would be really, really cool.
Are you going to Taipei?
No, online, dear. Online, right here, virtual, right here, in the comfort of my very own office space, right here. From the studios of Bicycle Talk and Radio Naturopath.
So I could go too.
Yes, you could.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. Other events that are coming up. I talked about this at length last week. The Natchog Epic. That will be Sunday, March 26th. And there is a day before event at the Pedal Power in Willimantic, Connecticut on the 25th, which I will be there and hosting. So that's kind of a cool thing. The International Ride of Silence, May 17th, 2023. And that will start off at the Mansfield Community Center, 10 South Eagle Bowl Road in Storrs, Connecticut. Is the only one I see on the Connecticut calendar at this time. I'm hoping it stays that way. And I hope to have a lot of us coming out and riding on it. It's only a 3.5 mile ride, not very far at all, but it is a cause that is worth doing, definitely worth doing. Let's get a couple hundred people to show up this year. Wouldn't that be cool? So anyway, what else is on the calendar? Yeah, get on your Zwift and kick some butt, even if it's your own. or try a spin class, maybe some yoga, strength training. You know, it's winter. That's what it is. The bicycle game is on the early history of bicycles in Hartford, still going on into the summer. And the 2023 National Bicycle Summit is on March 26th through the 29th. And that is either online or live in Washington, D.C. for all you bicycle advocates out there. The Queen of the Classics is just over a month away. That's the Paris-Roubaix, by the way. And that will be on Sunday, April 9th. Can't wait, can't wait, can't wait. Love it. The 106th edition of the 2023 Giro d'Italia starts on Saturday, May 6th. The 110th edition of the Tour de France begins on July 1st, 2023. And the 78th edition of the Vuelta a España takes place in Barcelona on August 26th, 2023. So those are the big boys. Those are the things going on. Finishing points. Don't forget about the bicycle game at the Connecticut Historical Society, the Natchog Epic, which is coming up at the end of March. And, you know, let's get out and ride our bikes here real soon. The weather is starting to change. The groundhog saw a shadow, didn't see a shadow. Who cares what about the groundhog shadow is all about? None of it really matters anyway. I saw the sign in front of our local greenhouses said it's 5 weeks away.
Yes.
So that would be spring. The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of the station. You've been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep that rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org. Thank you for listening.